Hey there, it's Ron. Big changes are underway at our San Diego show, so join us on Tuesday, May 8th at Tiger Tiger Tavern on El Cajon Boulevard to learn more, or tune into the podcast next week for a special announcement. If you're in Denver, join us on Wednesday, May 16th at Bumpport Theater. The theme for May is Rocking the Boat.
Next storyteller.
All right, next storyteller.
Next storyteller.
Our next storyteller.
Welcome to the Narrators Podcast.
This podcast collects stories that were told at the Narrators, a monthly storytelling event that features people telling true stories based on a theme.
Today's story comes from teacher and Colorado native Courtney LeDuc. Courtney's story was recorded live on February 21st, 2018 in Denver, Colorado. The theme of the evening was warning signs.
Hey. Do you ever feel like horribly unqualified for something? I'm just like your friendly neighborhood gay recovering alcoholic divorced person. Twice exceptional, which is teacher language for a beautiful brain that can't meet basic expectations. Like, I have to put my car keys in my lunch bag inside the refrigerator to get my lunch to school every day. And half of the fucking time, I'm like, where are my keys? What'd you do with my keys? So my life is like one long, drawn-out process of elimination about what not to do. And that is, in other words, is, you know, red lights, yellow lights, freaking yield signs I failed to heed. I remarked once, you know, where you start the story makes all the difference. And my father said, well, what happens in the middle usually makes for a pretty good page turner, too. So it was 2002, and I had my sights set on really great things. For example, I had, like, you know, I was going to clean up my act. I'd just cut out my dreadlocks and was fiercely independent, which meant that this was the first time I was going to live on my own, not in a dorm room. So I set out to sign the lease with six other of my half a step above delinquent cronies that were my tribe. You know? And we had a community dog, which... Don't do that, because Ruben's real cute. He's my dog. Ruben's shat in the house again. He's not my dog. And so we were going to sign this lease, and it was super exciting. We were living, we were in New Orleans. This was pre-Katrina. We were living in New Orleans, and we were sandwiched in between... you know, multi-million dollar plantation style homes two blocks that way, and Smokey the crack dealer two blocks that way. And it was the first time in my life, I'm a Denver native, and it was the first time in my life that I didn't realize every city is not clean. People don't recycle. I didn't know that you could urinate anywhere, literally anywhere. And so we were going to go sign the lease, right? So we were going to meet the landlord who lived in a far more suitable mansion than our dilapidated, almost condemnable, really scary joint. And so we, you know, we laced up our Chuck Taylors, and I think I even found a shirt with a collar. And we went down to the landlord's house. And this was a brother-brother situation. Like, one guy was the money man, and the other guy was the fix-it guy. Neither was very good at anything. They were kind of like, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times pair. And they didn't make any sense. So Gerald was the money man. And he like looked like he stepped off the set of a Simpsons. Like he was like Smithers, you know? And when he'd answer the phone, hello? So we all show up on his doorstep, you know, like ready to make our lives happen in this world. And you could tell Gerald prepared for the event too, because he had taken a shower. The only problem was that his sweater got stuck, like right here. You know, he didn't get it all the way down. So So Gerald finally opens the door and he says, hello. And his exposed old back, right? Like with like freckles and an occasional twisty hair. So when you talk to Gerald, like his take on New Orleans was like, it's an enchanting city that's going to steal your heart. But the weird thing was that his brother, Max, who wasn't incredibly handy, was just like, I don't think I can fix that. So like, why was Gerald? And Max was like, no. I don't understand where the genetics played into the accent, non-accent. So I was still like, this is great. Everything's really great. And, there was a couple of things that maybe should have jumped out at me. So lots of cockroaches. But in New Orleans, they're not really cockroaches. They're just palmetto bugs, according to Max. And there was, at one point, you know how you can lift a stove up that, you know, and then there's the underneath part. There was a torched, petrified mouse, and that might have been a proper warning, but we didn't actually find it until we moved out. And maybe I could have gotten a tip, because there's a St. Bernard that lived on the top floor, and when the St. Bernard would pee, it would link through the ceiling on the dining room table. But things were going really great. Like, I had super high aspirations, right? Like, I was ready to quit school and be a cocktail waitress. Because nothing says get this neon shot down your throat like this, right? Just a few holes in that story. But I did what we do, right? I looked around and I made myself okay with my life as I was living it because I wasn't that guy, right? Like, people in the suburbs, I think, do this where they, like, look and they look at each other's, like, finely manicured lawns and they're like the Joneses of the... They've got a flamingo out there. We gotta get on it. I looked at my neighbors and I had the pleasure of having two of... The angriest hippies I had ever come across. Now, it's okay to be angry. I'm good at it, right? But an angry hippie is something to see. And they had a story. There was Garrett, brown dreadlocks, huge hemp with a totem, and corduroy with the patchwork up the leg. And then there was Becky, redheaded dreadlocks, exact same outfit. And their love story was so incredible, right? They met on the parking lot of a Widespread Panic show. Now, let's be clear. I had just got my dreads. Therefore, I was in no place to judge. And I'm still not judging. You can get anything you want in this life on a Widespread Panic lot. And there's something to be said for, like, Panic, right? Panic fans. Anybody out there? Okay, great. Okay, fine. So, it doesn't matter for the story, but there's something even more intense about Panic in the South. Like those people are like, fucking Panic, man. But their love story didn't stop there. Their story was this beautiful story about how two became three. Not only did they meet each other on the lot of a Widespread Panic show, but they also found their family dog, which was a beautiful golden retriever with, you guessed it, a hemp collar. Now, the thing that really helped me justify the life that I was living and the way that I was living it was the way that these two angry hippies spoke their beautiful dog's name. They named the dog. There's really no other choice than to name the dog Miracle. It makes perfect sense. Like, if I had a nickel for every kid I saw in a panic lock that was like, one heady miracle, I'd have enough to take the bus somewhere, right? But the thing about it was when they talked to the dog, it sound. This is what I listened to all day. Miracle! 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 It was this ridiculous juxtaposition of this most beautiful word that we have to describe the inexplicable, the magic, the supernatural, with horrifying, miracle, miracle. You know... I don't have a lot of great things to say about the decisions I was making at that time in my life. But I was really glad that I wasn't Garrett or Becky, and I was super glad I wasn't Miracle. So I guess you can't get whatever you want on the lot of a widespread panic show.
Keep it going for Courtney. This is one of those times where I feel bad about being 43 and having to say this part. You can lift up the top of your stove to clean it out? Like, seriously, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I know you can take the things out and then, like, kind of reach under and clean. You can lift it up? I don't know what's in my stove right now. I feel like, you know, like, my world has just changed. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna clean under there, but I like knowing that you can.
The Narrators is produced by Robert Rutherford, Mary Robertson, Aaron Rollman, and me, Ron Doyle. Our assistant producer is Sydney Crane. Our theme music is by Whalehawk, and our founder and executive producer is Andrew Orvidal. A very special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Illegal Pete's, Sexy Pizza, From the Hip Photo, and Renegade Brewing Company. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. And join us at one of our live monthly shows, which take place every second Tuesday of the month at Tiger Tiger Tavern in San Diego, California, and every third Wednesday of the month at Bumport Theater in Denver, Colorado. Both shows start at 8 p.m. and are always free to attend. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, and for past episodes, photos from our live shows, and a list of our upcoming events and themes, please visit thenarrators.org. Thanks for listening.